Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Around the Payload, a High Noon production. I am your host, The Blevins, and we've got a great show for you today. I've got some wonderful guests. We've got some hot, spicy, fresh off the presses Overwatch League news to talk about, and we will get to that in just a second. But first, for those of you who are new to the show, let me quickly explain what we're going to be doing today. I've got this awesome round table of four guests to talk everything competitive Overwatch, Overwatch League, all of the above. We're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be playing a little game where the points mean everything and everyone's lives are at stake. Okay, maybe not. But you're going to be hearing sounds that sound like this. And that is going to be me giving out the points. Sorry, podcast listeners, you don't get to see our lovely mugs while I dole out the points. But without further ado, let me introduce my wonderful hosts. In the top left, we've got Ham Tornado, Contenders caster, freelance analyst for Broadcast GG, and by her own admission, the Queen of Farts.
Welcome back. Just save the best for last, the most important title of them all. So
I do. I also just assumed that you wrote that, and it would be really BM if someone else wrote it. But it got read, so
I mean, it's accurate regardless, so some good journalism.
In up next in the top right, weighing in at I don't know how much you weigh. We've got the host of Owl Recap, Blazing Bob.
Hey, 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 and that's 205 pounds, 6'3".
Yeah, lightweight, man. Lightweight over there.
I know. You guys threw me when we were in New York City. Like, you guys threw me like 5 feet up in the air.
So good. Up next in the bottom right, we've got Esports Journalist host on Tactical Crouch, and I believe the new-ish podcast, Delve Further, Volumel.
It's been going, but yeah, thanks for having me. I'm here to do things. He was going to say some profanity, but I'm already trying to dig a hole, and I'm not trying to get negative points, so you know what? We're keep a PG today.
Effing taco, man. Effing taco. And last, and certainly not least, we've got the host of the Blackwatch Report, Thorn Rain. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks for having me back.
Fresh off a live episode, too. You're going back to back skis.
Yeah, back to back. Literally just wrapped the show not 20 minutes ago.
That's that Overwatch podcast life, baby. And speaking of, let's jump right in to round number one.
Round one. Capture the objective.
Oh, the day has come. The day has come. Rest in peace, our good friend DeFran, no longer in the Overwatch League, has retired after one single stage of playing in the Overwatch League. Ham Tornado, what are your thoughts here? What are your thoughts here on the man, DeFran, leaving town?
The man, DeFran, but he's got a plan. So, but I mean, DeFran, I do have to say, you know, I had been kind of watching him. I hadn't been a fan of him as he was a streamer, but when he was on, man, what team was it? All the way back in the day. Was it Selfless? Okay, yeah. I just had this indelible image of him burned into my mind of him Genji blading off the side of the map on Oasis Gardens and throwing the game, right? And that was my first impression of him. And I was like, yikes, right? But, you know, and came through, and it was a true redemption arc, right? Memes aside and everything, he really shaped up, came into the league, and made a huge difference for Atlanta. So, yeah, RIP DeFran, man. I mean, it's really sad to see him go after just one stage, but if this is what's going to make him happy, if he really enjoys that streamer life where he doesn't have to be kind of constrained and everything, he can show all of his, you know, the flowery aspects of his personality, I say go for it. We actually kind of had a whole spate of changes, right? A lot of movement, a lot of some players retiring. Coco from the Dallas Fuel. Oh, that was a real, like, right here. Because another, you know, one of those OGs that really, you know, built this environment that we know as professional Overwatch. And it, you know, us as viewers and fans, like, we're always going to be sad to see our favorite players go, but in the end, just like hang on to that memory, right? It meant it meant a lot to you while he was on the stage, and you know, made an indelible mark and everything. And regardless of whatever the future holds, you're still gonna be able to retain that bit of history, right?
True.
And so, as sad as it is, I think, you know, as long as the players, as long as the people themselves are happy and they feel that this is the right move for them, you know, going on into the future for their lives, then I say go for it. I'm happy for them.
I'm sure the DeFran fanboys are going to be just fine with this happening, and I'm going to rage it all on Reddit. But Bob, what are your thoughts here? DeFran leaves after a single stage in Overwatch.
Well, as you know, as I've been very vocal on this show throughout, you know, all of last season and our mock fantasy drafts before the fact where I took him and he wasn't even in the league, like... You know, I've always been a big fan of him, and I just am happy that he was able to leave with, you know, responsibility, dignity, everything. Like, I'm pretty sure he was planning on leaving after week one, because, like, every request we made for an interview with him was denied, and literally... Anyone we've requested before, win or lose, they like, it's kind of like a they have to do it type of thing. Like they, but he just was able to skip out of everyone and not give any interview. And so we were a little worried that he was going to go. But man, he did it the right way. Like the days of throw for DeFran are over. He has grown up a lot. He's become a, I mean, he's become a better professional and a better person, and that makes me happy. And that's the redemption story that I really wanted. Yes, it was short, and you know, but it was sweet. And I just want to send him out with a little, you know, snippet from a song. DeFran, why couldn't you stay for one more stage? Oh, I screwed it up. But
I was gonna say, Bob, the more you start singing, the more points I'm gonna just start taking away. So this is not the Overwatch music show.
But yes, I'm just excited that he did it right, and I'm excited we got to see the over the top building grab. I mean, that was cool. Like, I'm sad to see him go, but I'm happy to see him do it the right way. Unlike your other streamer person, who I won't say his name. No, I'm not saying.
Try to get a ball, Mel. What are your thoughts here on DeFran?
Pretty similar to what has been said so far. You know, happy that he's, you know, left on his own, you know, terms. I think it's very respectable that, you know, he's been able to, I wouldn't say carry, but, you know, participate in a playoff format. You know, help his team reach, you know, a pretty prestigious milestone in making the stage playoffs, and going out on a high note, right? Or a semi-high note. Atlanta was a strong team. He came in. People had question marks about his, you know, hero pool for the most part. Those were answered within the first couple of games, looked stellar. But if this isn't just something he wants to do, not something he's really down to pursue, I don't think anybody is at a loss here. It'd be kind of a bad look to have Atlanta hold him and kind of put him in you know, contract jail, and all the DeFran fanboys get to, you know, watch his stream and, you know, partake in some more debauchery and funness, right? So it's a win-win for everybody. This isn't a really sad day for me, or it shouldn't really be for anybody. Atlanta, you know, we'll talk about them later, but all in all, happy for him, happy that he's doing things in streaming, and you know, maybe we'll see him on some GTA RPs. You know,
maybe we'll see him on... That's where he can truly shine as a professional, I'm sure. It's... Thor.
Sorry, can I just say one thing real quick?
Yeah.
It's definitely a loss for the league, though. It's a win for Overwatch because he's going to continue to stream, but I mean, he sold the most jerseys. It's definitely a loss for the league, but not really for anybody else.
Sure.
That's Thorne, fair.
Last words here on DeFran.
Don't worry, Bob. I'll fall on this grenade for you.
my man.
I'm happy that he did it the way that he did, but I got to bring up XQC.
Oh.
I'll take the lost points. I'll take
them. All right.
Because DeFran did make it longer than XQC. he didn't put the black marks on the Atlanta Reign like XQC put on the Dallas Fuel.
True.
No suspensions, no drama. He ran the stage the way that he should. He just knew that the playing in the live environment wasn't for him. He left with grace. Like, I mean, you have to give it to DeFran. You know, everybody said it. He did everything right when he knew that he couldn't handle the pressure and he just wanted to stream. So I support DeFran. I love that he stayed on with Atlanta and he's just going to create content for him. Everything he did was correct. So, you know, good for DeFran. I'm glad that he came into the league, got to show everybody that he was league worthy. Everybody that said that he wasn't, proven wrong mm-hmm. pretty quickly. And then he said, you know what? I proved myself. Now I'm out. Mm-hmm. Later, dude.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. And I will say that this will be the final episode where until the DeFran rule comes right back into play. So get them in while they're hot. But moving on, keeping in talking about Atlanta, we did see what is likely to be the replacement for DeFran, and that is Baby Bay from the San Francisco Shock. Bob, well, I'll put the question to you first. Is this going to be enough to fill that void that DeFran leaves?
Well, it's not going to be enough to fill it, but I think it was an extremely good pickup. Baby Bay, I've thought, could perform as a lot of the DPS on San Francisco Shock, and I thought it was crazy that Shock was sitting on him because it's just wasting their money. And I was a pretty big fan of Baby Bay early on in season one. I mean, he mm-hmm. definitely showed that he could grind characters, and he is definitely mechanically good. And with Pharah coming into the meta, possibly coming into the meta, he could be a really good pickup. And so I don't think he's going to fill the void, especially not the fun around the house team morale void that DeFran kind of filled as like kind of a team mascot. I don't think he's going to do that, but I definitely think he is going to make a difference on the team, and they definitely needed to pick up a DPS regardless, and I think this is one of the best they could have gotten.
A lot of good points there. Volumel, is Baby Bay enough to keep Atlanta in the Stage 2 playoff considerations?
Is it enough to keep them in playoffs? That's a little bit more interesting question. That's different.
Is that what you asked me?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm making these up so we don't answer the same exact question over and over again.
100%. To the point of the Pharah, he actually has statistically a very, very proficient Pharah. His hero pool is quite wide. Is he going to be able to fill the shoes of DeFran? I don't think we got to see how good DeFran can be. So I'm going to have to say no. I do think there are a lot of European talent that could have been brought over there. Again, I think visas are probably the biggest culprit of why that didn't happen, and getting, you know, players in on such short notice. So this is not a bad choice. I wouldn't say this is worst case scenario for Atlanta, but this is not a bad knock. Again, very flexible. You know, me and Baby Bay, we go a little bit back. I wrote an article, one of my first, you know, within the first 10, I said that, you know, he was like almost as good as, you know, an aimbot. And then I was chastised on Reddit because he was banned on CSGO for aimbot. So, ooh, you know, to my credit, though, wasn't cheating, though. He just was very, very good. And it showed. It showed that he was very mechanically proficient, and it is kind of carried him across, not carried him, but, you know, helped him across his career so far. So very solid pickup. We'll have to see exactly what happens. But yeah, not a bad knock, I think. Better than what people are expecting, I'll say.
Makes sense. Thorne, what are your thoughts on Baby Bay swooping in and filling the void of DeFran?
I think that he fills, I mean, they needed the hit scan role filled for when hit scan comes back. I think he fills that, but like Bob and Volumel said, there's the aura around DeFran that Baby Bay isn't going to be able to fill. He brought in, yeah, some of them were a little more toxic than others, but he had the fan base that loved him. And then that folded over into the rest of the fans at the arena. They started doing DeFran chants, and like he had a personality that was larger than life. Now, I mean, we've seen Baby Bay do charities and stuff like that. Baby Bay will fill the hole. He'll fill it differently.
That might be an episode title, by the way.
Got him. So I think it's a solid pickup, but like Volumel said, I 100% think that Davin should have possibly been a better pick. But you know, visas and all that, you know, getting brought into the US is kind of a pain right now. So, we're not going to get onto that subject. But I think Baby Bay will suffice, and it definitely help the Reign going through stage two. I don't know about the whole playoff run stage two, maybe give them a little bit more time to gel. Playoff run stage three, I would definitely say is possible.
Interesting early call out. I like it. That's a pretty hot take. Ham, last words here. Baby Bay to Atlanta in lieu of DeFran.
Yeah, so I mean, everybody's kind of already covered what he brings to the team mechanically and in terms of his hero pool. And I think that's probably where we'll see Baby Bay get a lot of value, because yeah, he's a super talented player, and he will be able to cover a lot of the heroes that DeFran also brought to the table, especially with the changes coming through. Please, DPS, hit scan, anybody. but I think, you know, kind of going to that personality aspect, and one of the reasons why DeFran was so popular, sold so many jerseys, and had so many fans was that larger than life kind of like attitude, right? Subscribe to Twitch Prime, right? His first ever owl interview, and he just, you know, one sentences it and then kind of just like walks off stage, right? That's what, you know, a lot of people really enjoyed about him. And Baby Bay is known as somebody who has, you know, hints of that here and there. When Thorin Reign was like, you know, he's gonna fill it a little bit differently, that Ateo ad where he tries to rap definitely came to mind, and that, you know, certainly different. And I don't know if we're going to see a little bit more of that kind of, you know, those kinds of antics, but if that's what Atlanta Reign really would like to have, you know, larger than life kind of DPS player who can go out there, be comfortable with being a meme, right? Bring in those fans, then I think they've picked the right guy.
Yeah, this is definitely an interesting one. I mean, when we've seen Baby Bay actually play, he's been quite good. So it's nice to actually, you know, not see him rot away on the bench. But let's move on and talk about another hot off the presses. I don't know if it counts as a double release and pickup or a straight up trade. I don't know about the statistics and how all that works. But we did see Note from the Boston Uprising go to Dallas, and RCK from Dallas go to Boston. So a swap of the off tanks here. Volumel, what are your thoughts on this trade? Who does it benefit? Is it good, bad, etc.?
I think this is pretty lateral for both parties. Both players are very, very good. I don't think people are super in tune with how flexible and how good RCK can be, coming from Team Giganti, and just an overall solid Finnish player. I'm not entirely too sure why Dallas would be interested in trading him a month after signing him. I think that's a little bizarre. I think this was very much a Dallas-centric trade. They weren't necessarily happy with what was going on for whatever reason. Things weren't gelling, and then they went to the old general store, that is the Boston Uprising, and asked for a trade. I think this is very similar to the Gamsu situation, where, you know, Boston's always willing to trade if the money's right and the players are coming. And I don't think anybody's sad either way. I don't think, you know, Note is a very good player. RCK will fill that void very, very well and almost add a little bit more flexibility to it. Whereas Note coming in possibly could fill some intangibles for Dallas Fuel. So I think it's pretty lateral overall. And if I had to guess, this was very negotiated or was pursued by Dallas and not Boston.
definitely interesting take there. Thorn, what are your thoughts on this trade?
Not a whole lot. I literally did not have very much time to prep for this specific question.
It did literally happen probably, what, 2 hours ago at most, while you were recording a show?
It happened literally right before we were going to go into our show. So, I mean, both of them are solid players. We saw RCK being able to flex over to the Sombra. When he's able to play the Sombra, he does phenomenal things. Do I think that's something that Boston really needs? Possibly. Note as far as going over to Dallas, I don't pay enough attention to Dallas. I'm sorry, Bob. I don't. to really comment on if that's going to help Dallas out going into stage two. Yeah, I'm kind of neutral on this trade. Like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are saying it's huge, but I'm feeling that it's a one for one. They switched players. That's about it. Nobody really gained anything here.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense for sure. Ham, thoughts on this trade?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit in the same boat as Thorin right here. You know, one on paper, right? One off tank for another off tank. And I think that Boston Uprising and Dallas Fuel are, you know, still in flux at this point, where any trade could potentially be a huge, you know, galaxy brain trade. But taking a look at their records, right, both of them, you know, 4-3 after, you know, stage one groups kind of like in the middle, right? The teams themselves, I think they're like map win loss differential is only separated by like one or two maps, right? Very middle of the road, kind of both of those teams. There's moments of brilliance, but we've never really captured that same fire, the consistency, the domination that we saw with Boston Uprising in last season of Owl and with team, you know, with Dallas Fuel team MB all the way back in the day. So I would agree with Volumel that this seems to be, you know, motivated from Dallas Fuel as to be like, hey, yo, we may have made more changes, still not the right changes. Let's try the off tank this time, right? So, you know, note going over there, again, it's very hard to theory craft as to what he might add to a team that essentially just lacks identity, right? It used to be that Effect was this carry tracer. He would bring, you know, Dallas Fuel through these fights that they had no right to win. We haven't seen that pop-off kind of potential from him this season, right? Zachary hasn't made as big of an impact as everybody who was a fan of him when he was on Fusion University expected for him to bring to this team. So, again, I would agree with, you know, kind of the two previous opinions. A lateral move, right? Not a bad one, but not, you know, not something that's going to break things open. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I agree overall. Bob, I saved you for last year. This is your team involved in this trade. What are your thoughts on it?
I disagree with every fucking thing that's been said so far. I think this was a trade pushed by Boston. I mean, it makes no sense. Okay, so first off, in the GOAT meta, Sombra is a cheese pick, but it wins. Okay, and the D.Va always switches to Sombra. So having a D.Va that can play Sombra is huge. Soul has it, and the hat you're wearing, Toronto Defiant has it, but it is rare, and I don't get why Dallas did this unless there's cash coming in from Boston, because it just doesn't make sense. I mean, like, okay, we're getting Note, but we already have a D.Va one trick in Mickey. I don't understand why Dallas needs Note and why they wouldn't just get something else. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And all I can think is that Jayne and Arrow really think that Goats is going out of the meta, because if Goats goes out and you play a comp that is more spread out, all of a sudden Sombra doesn't matter. Now, yes, AKM can play Sombra, but it's been very hit and miss. Like, RCK has been clean. And so that's what I don't get. And RCK's D.Va play has been spot on. I mean, you haven't got to see it a ton, but he's gotten plenty of 3Ks. He's in the right locations. I've been extremely impressed with him. And I'm just, as a fan of Dallas, just kind of bummed Note is a great diva, but I don't know what else he could do. And so, and to answer the Zachary thing, he's been stuck on Brigitte. He hates Brigitte. I mean, he can't prove himself until he gets a chance to play DPS, which is what he plays. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's where I stand with that. I think this was instigated by Boston because they want to be more versatile instead of just goats.
Yeah, a lot of really good points from everyone. I do think that the trade ends up giving Boston more diversity and maybe Dallas a little bit of a power up overall. I think on paper maybe Notes a slightly, you know, better diva than RCK, but it's definitely close. It's an interesting trade, and as a fan of Overwatch but not of either of these two teams specifically, I just want to see as much of the pot stirred as possible. So keep them coming.
Definitely exciting. Definitely exciting.
Keep them coming is what I say. But let's keep this going, as that is the end of round number one. A quick recap of the scores. We've got a very tight game here. We've got Bob leading the pack here with 21 points. We got Ham and Volumel tied in second with 19, and Thorn right behind him with 18 points. But it's anyone's game as we move into round number two.
Round two. Capture the objective.
Well, we saw two teams be very much dominant in the first stage of the Overwatch League for Season 2. One team stood above them all, of course, and that is the Vancouver Titans, winning the Stage 1 playoffs, undefeated in the regular season and then obviously undefeated in the Stage 1 playoffs. So, Thorn, the question starts with you. Is Vancouver still going to be dominant as we go into Stage number 2?
God, I hope not. this solely comes from my perspective on sports. I dislike
as a Cleveland's
because,
Brown as a Cleveland yeah, Browns fan, yeah, by the way.
Yeah. I was trying.
We hate
trying
winning,
but I don't like the teams that are just constantly sitting at the top. Like I want everybody to have a chance to fight. Like looking at the week, and then you look and you see Vancouver going up against any team, and you're like, well, Vancouver's winning this. There's no fun in that. Like I want to look at it and be like, man, you know what? Florida Mayhem might actually be able to take that match. I know that's not going to happen. So why would I even watch that match? Like, I would love to see Vancouver just come down maybe two pegs. I'm not saying go bottom or anything like that, but, you know, drop a couple games. Like, if the meta shifts, maybe we see them lose to, you know, Shock or, well, we don't even get to see them play Excelsior until Stage 4, so that's a long ways off. Maybe Shock. That would be my only guess, but I really hope that they're not as dominant.
Some wishful thinking that they might not be at the top. But Ham, the question goes to you. Will they still be at the top despite maybe our wishful thinking here?
It really is I think it's a wish, because as fans, of course, it's always good when you see more parity in the league. And actually, you know, speaking of parity, these expansion teams, right, coming in here and really making that mark. Everybody was saying like, Chengdu Hunters, they're not even going to be a blip, right, on the radar. Guangzhou Charge, forget it. A mixed roster between China, Korea, and some random British player. Never going to happen. But I think that what the Runcouver Titanways have in their back pocket compared to all the other teams who have ever been dominant, you know, in our, you know, the very short time that OWL has been around, is they were that full roster long before they ever transitioned into OWL. And so, excuse me. And I think that's what's going to give them the ability to move from meta to meta and maintain a lot of that same dominance, right? So everybody's saying GOATs, you know, it really shut down all these DPS players. There's no place for, you know, individual carry mechanics. You know, everybody's just kind of stuck in this, you know, death ball. The two of them smash together. Everybody press Q. Welcome to GOATs, you know, where everything is made up and the ults don't matter. Nobody dies. Then reset. Go again. But I don't think that that's really the way that the Vancouver comes at these kinds of plays. They always seem to have some kind of plan. And even if the execution isn't 100% of the fights, you can tell that there's a trust, a synergy that's been built between these six players over the course of their competitive lives, because you have to remember that Runaway, back when they were competing with in OGN's Apex series, also suffered many, many a defeat before they finally crawled on top and stood as the champions of this entire tournament. It was a real, moment. Everybody cried, and I think that's kind of the something that forges a really strong bond. And Haxel, who was in Brig Jail, like Zachary, right? Still, like, if I think about, you know, Brigitte's, who really added something to their team, Haxel comes to mind. You only have to watch, like, that last game on Rialto in the Stage 1 finals to see that Brigitte isn't just about Mouse 1 and, you know, W, right? There's a lot of fine nuance, saving that shield bash, timing things perfectly, being the setup man to enable the rest of your team. And those are the kind of moments that I think will carry, you know, Vancouver throughout the rest of this season. Fingers crossed. Of course, though, after London Spitfire won last season's Stage 1 finals, everybody was hot all about, you know, buying, you know, the teal and orange and stuff, and then, boy, did they crumble. So, but I think that, you know, Vancouver has the historical, you know, data that we can draw from that this team will still do pretty good.
Yeah, it's it will definitely be a hurdle for the other teams, at the very least at the beginning of this first stage. Bob, what are your thoughts here? Vancouver, are we going to see another undefeated stage here for Vancouver, or are there challengers amongst us?
Well, first off, I have to agree completely about the Brigitte play. I've been talking that up since the stage started. Like, when you see those big D.Va 3Ks, those are a Brigitte getting around the Rhine at the exact right time and putting the correct stun on him. And you don't really see it in the live thing, but yeah, that's definitely big. But do they dominate in this stage? I mean, you know, you'd think Rhine would be more out of the meta because more damage, shield goes down faster, but Bumper doesn't really use the shield all that much. So as long as Bumper can miss his, you know, charges and then 180 shatter when he probably shouldn't have, when there's no one around him to help him, but still get those three kills, then, I mean, they have a chance to still dominate. Now, I don't know a ton about their DPS players, but if DPS comes in, it might be a little weird. But as a team, they play together extremely well, and I think, yeah, they're gonna at least be one of the top teams, and they're gonna be in the playoffs in stage two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would definitely be a huge surprise if they didn't make the stage two playoffs here. But Volumel, last words on Runaway, aka Vancouver Titans. Are they still going to be dominant for stage two?
It's going to be a sad time if you're not a favor of dynasties, you know, being birthed, because this is the Titans coming in strong. I'm a big fan of, you know, overarching narratives and storylines. I think parody doesn't really lend itself to you know, having those underdog stories and those come behind things. I think that it's a disservice to have the amount of parody that we did in stage one, especially like week two, week three. It was pretty ridiculous, and it was just a toss up. Like, it was fun if your team was the kind of the team on the day that just took the win. But for overall, you know, having a dynastic team come in and show that this is where you can push Overwatch not only increases the expectations of all the teams around them, but also allows for lower teams to be able to beat them, right? And if they do, that's headline stuff. The dynasty's over. The Kings are dead. You know, imagine if Philadelphia, you know, the Fusion Academy, right? Mm-hmm. They have a history of not losing in game fives. They go to game fives and they always win. Now imagine when they actually do lose. That's so mind-blowing. That's so, like, emotionally, like, draining. You want to cheer for that. That's so fun and cool. But when we don't have that, it's a little weak. But to actually answer the question, yes, I think Vancouver, they play together more than any other team. They are more flexible than I think anybody's prepared to deal with. They're gonna dominate. I don't think it'll be as decisive, but I think they'll be clearly one or two. Very clearly.
Yeah, that's definitely a hard line to bet against, to say the least here. But we talked about an utterly dominant team in stage one and likely in stage two. But Ham, let's talk about teams that may not be overarchingly dominant and maybe good this stage, but aren't already. I want to hear about a sleeper pick here for stage number two.
A sleeper pick. So there's a lot of good choices. I mean, something that I think Guangzhou Charge has a little extra special something, right? And it's not just because of their hilarious roster, who I love, by the way. I think that, you know, kind of going over this game tape and you say, oh, well, the GOATs meta and everything, everybody likes to talk about, you know, what could be the theory crafting with a patch coming through. Oh, the changes to damage over time, the knockback, the Hammond changes. But, you know, a team who's already somehow been, you know, preparing themselves for the triple DPS Hammond comp is Guangzhou Charge. I mean, you take a look at some of their, you know, their team play, and while it's not clean, really, by any means, they ended up, you know, again, kind of in that middle of the pack in terms of league standings. There are some really cool moments that I just, I think if they can grow upon it, will give them a really good starting space for stage two and for this next meta. So one of them, of course, is going to be Aileen Sombra, right? Bob's like, oh, well, the Sombra's just a cheese. But hey, on paper, a W is a W, right? If you have a mad Sombra in your lineup, why not use it, right? It's always going to be an option. Aileen Sombra is amazing, played it against, you know, teams, even like the Vancouver Titans. Guangzhou Charge took Nepal against the Titans based off of some of those, you know, wacky, you know, off-meta picks like the Sombra. Hotba, too, he was kind of a question mark. He was really the only, you know, known factor that Guangzhou Charge had for a long time, and he was, you know, middle of the pack, kind of diva, off-tank player. He was kind of weird. Nobody was, like, a massive, like, Hotba fan, but he has a Tracer, he can play D.Va, he can play Pharah. So many good looks for him individually, and the team seems to be ready to play around him. And then, of course, you also have Happy, who's equally comfortable on the Widowmaker and the Hanzo. Ryo on the Hammond, on the Reinhardt. These are all, you know, really strong parts of the Guangzhou team that, you know, now that they have one stage under their belt, I think prepare them to, you know, do even better in the following stages.
So we have one vote for the Guangzhou Charge. I like it. Bob, what do you got here as a sleeper pick for stage number two?
All right, well, just to clarify, I think Sombra's fine. I agree. Mm-hmm, like play what wins.
What's that whizzing? I hear a bunch of backpedaling somewhere.
The players are the ones that call her a cheese pick, and that's just because when players get owned by something. But I mean, she is definitely, it's definitely an I win button if you do it right. But yeah, I if I was a coach, I would definitely play a Sombra if I had one. Like, if just, you know, a forehead. But I think the sleeper pick is the Valiant, because the Valiant did play a lot of game fives. They took a lot of games the distance, and they just came up a little short. And I think with the coaching change and maybe them not putting Kuki in as the main heel, I think they could actually win a lot more games. And the pressure's kind of off at this point. The pressure's going to be on any team that plays them not wanting to lose. You know what I mean? So I think they are the sleeper pick. I don't know that they make it in playoffs, but I think they definitely – I'm guessing like 4-3 for stage two.
Well, and Bob, did you see they just signed their brand new player? The first name's Owen, last name's Seven. Yikers! Let's move on here. Let's move on. Valmel, who do you got as a sleeper pick here for stage two?
I'm going to go pretty on brand here. I'm going to say Chengdu has a good nod to actually make playoffs. I think this is their wheelhouse. If they are able to play DPS characters, I think the league's actually going to see how good China is at playing this darn game. You know, I was tagged in a Discord after World Cup asking if Guxia was the truth. He was. Lo and behold, you see what happened, right? You know, Jinmu, we've seen people be a little bit... Now we're seeing the community be overly bullish on some of these Chinese players. Let's reel it back a little bit. Jinmu can get ahead of himself. He can be a little bit, you know, overly aggressive, and his positioning isn't checked because we haven't been able to play in a DPS meta. Once you have mobile heroes, you'll be able to keep up with him on the Pharah and the Genji. He's not going to be as wily as he is in the GOATs meta. But there again, you have plenty of other DPS heroes or DPS aces to be able to round him out and, you know, fill in where he may make mistakes. And, you know, if by chance we do see some of these bunker comps that people are kind of theory crafting, this also plays in Amming's wheelhouse as well. He kind of was a D.Va flex with Orisa with a little bit of DPS and some hog. He's weird. Don't get me started on him. so again, it all fills out for them. I think that teams are not going to be sleeping on them as much. And yeah, I think they'll do better. I think this is their stage.
It very well may be. Thornrain, last pick here. Who do you got as a sleeper pick for this stage?
I'm going to go with... If the DPS is coming back, you got to look at the Outlaws coming back and doing better than they did in the first stage. You've got the changes to Junkrat coming in. You've got the changes to the knockbacks, the shields. We get to see Dante on Tracer alongside of Jake on Junkrat, possibly. We get to see Dante running around with Lynxer on Widow. If you're going to give us DPS, I want to see what the Outlaws can do now that they actually have a true-to-form Tracer player. I think that they're... I'm not saying that they're winning the stage or anything like that. They're 100% going to do better than what they did in the previous stage. I have faith that the Outlaws will actually be able to step up their game a little bit and not backpedal and fall back down into the bottom.
Interesting pick. Interesting is a very strong word for what I'm actually feeling, but we're gonna keep it rolling here.
Talk to me after the stage two.
Oh, believe me, I'm gonna be talking to Deathlow about it, because that's probably who he would have chose as well. Notably here, I think I'm bringing this up because Houston Outlaws was such an awful pick. Shrug Off in the chat brings up Gladiators as a good one. Roar getting to play Winston and talking about some other stuff too, but Roar getting to play Winston is definitely a it's a nod for me, to say the least. Jake Rat, come on, bro. Moving on to the last question here in round number two. With the flurry of tradings and signings that we saw in the last couple of days, obviously yesterday didn't count because it was April Fool's, we still have some time to see some more trades and signings and whatnot go on. There's still arguably some teams that could use some change-ups here. So, Bob, what is a big trade or a big signing that a team could pick up, pull off right now for Stage 2?
Well, for half the teams in League, if not, I mean, maybe not half, maybe a third, could definitely replace someone with one of the four DPS remaining on the San Francisco Shock. You have Architect, you have Sinatra, you have Rascal, you have Striker. Any of those four could start over at least one of the DPS on at least a third of the teams in the league. So I think San Francisco shouldn't be done yet. I think San Francisco could still make a trade, and yeah, I mean, like, they just still have so much power, and make the trade now while people think maybe DPS is coming back in. Because if it doesn't, then you just really gain. So I think a third of the league could trade with San Fran for another DPS.
So basically San Fran getting something out of one of their extra DPS laying on the bench. I like it. Follow Mel, you got any hot trade action going on here? If you're a GM of a team, who are you shipping? Who are you getting?
If I'm the Hangzhou Spark, right? This is a team that calls in Korean, calls in English. Not entirely too sure exactly what their comm structure is like, but it's clear that it isn't good. when you have the Houston Outlaws running them down and having their support line end up in Houston's spawn room, something is not right. Therefore, I propose a trade between the Shock and the Spark. Rascal for Sashin, let's say. I think Rascal brings a lot of calling. I think that's the only reason why Shock is actually putting him forward and actually, you know, having him start with in the starting six, you know, lineup is because he is very vocal and structures these comms very well. Again, not to double back on some other questions, something that Baby Bay does as well. Mm-hmm. Almost too much so, from my understanding. So having Rascal being traded to the Spark would hopefully shore up some of their, you know, misplays, some of their mispositioning, you know, guide them a little bit stronger. And if by chance they are calling in English, he also can speak some decent English. Not the best, but he can get by. So I think this is a solid trade for them. It's not a bad trade for San Francisco. They still get a solid DPS player, adds a little bit of projectile for their kind of hit scan heavy lineup. And yeah, I think overall both parties are pretty happy. And yeah, so Rascal for Sashin.
That's an interesting one. That would, I think it may already be the case, but I think it would officially cement Rascal as the most traded player in the league by a country mile.
One dubious title.
It would just make more teams less cowardly by being able to play Rascal, so I'm all for it. Thorn, what kind of spicy hot fake trade do you have on the table for us?
I'm noticing a trend here between the first three. San Francisco. I actually would love to see the Washington Justice make a move for Striker or Rascal. Finish out a Korean starting six. Give Big Brain Wizard Young just his whole team to just actually form and send out like he did with XL. I think that if Justice want to make any sort of move up, you know, sorry, Trug, two wins in stage two, they're going to have to get somebody else in there. And I'd like to see them pull a DPS out of San Francisco, whether it's Striker or Rascal.
Man, Striker to Washington would actually raise an eyebrow for me, honestly. I mean, it would be interesting. The team is still fielding Janus, which gives me absolutely no hope whatsoever. I lived as an NYXL player, just holding my breath, hoping that they wouldn't sub him in for stages on end. So I know that I have it would be false hope, but it would be pretty hype if Striker did get to play. I just want to see Striker play. If San Francisco's not playing, put him in. Put him in the game. Play Striker, you cowards. But Ham, last words here. What do you got for us?
All right, and I think I got a good one. This is kind of out of left field because the question was trades or signings, and I got to give a shout-out to my Tier 2 boys, Alarm. Somebody, sign Alarm already. This guy has been on Fusion University for ages, and he is one of the best players, not just on that team, who, by the way, are the three-time North American Contenders champions, the only champions that we've ever had in this region, but he's just a fragger amongst all Zens, right? It's a joke. We call him A-Alarm, right? Because, like, if you're a mini Jonak, you got to add that second first letter to your name, right? And so he'd be a great addition to any team that's looking for just, you know, a standout flex support player. Houston Outlaws definitely comes to mind. I'll throw you a solid out there, Houston Outlaws, even though I'm a Dallas Fuel fan. This one's for free. Alarm could definitely make a huge impact on this team. I mean, every time for those who may not be as familiar with Alarm's play style, if you think about Dogman and kind of his name and the way that he's been able to impact the team, you're looking for frags, Alarm's got it. You want a trance to go in to save your super, super aggressive Reinhardt who charges on cooldown, Alarm will never, ever miss a trance timing. So I think, you know, especially Outlaws who have, you know, struggled here and there, Alarm would be a really good pickup for their backline. And again, just in general, any team that, you know, needs another flex support player, because he really embodies the full Zenyatta. Perfect harmony between aggression and defense, right? If you took a look at his stats, I'm sure it would be like, you know, same 10k healing and 10k damage. So I just can't say enough good things about him. His support partner, Elk, has already moved into the Fusion, Philadelphia Fusion proper. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be looking for another flex support player. You know, they're already kind of rounded out. But it would be a real shame if the world didn't get to see, you know, Alarm flex on some more fools.
I think the correct meme would be AA Alarm.
I was going to say that, but yeah, I left it for you. Jonek.
Well, it's like the Key and Peele, Aaron. Yeah.
And Balake? Is there a Balake Ron, here?
Aaron.
Okay, if we say it one more time, we're going to have to owe Comedy Central, so we can't say Aaron. Ugh.
Hey, amen. Okay. Jordan Peele's got enough money. He's like the hottest director. Yeah. He's doing Twilight Zone. I don't think he needs the royalties. Hey. Aaron Balake.
Hey, they don't make. Mm-hmm. Hey, you don't make a bunch of money by not suing people. Okay, that's all I'll say. All
right.
Touché, good sir. Let's move on here. That is going to bring us to the end of round number two, and we'll try to finish this up before we get sued by Jordan Peele. But a quick recap of the points: we got a dead heat here. We've got Bob still rounding out the top of the pack with 46 points. Volumel with 45 points. Thorn and Ham at the back of the pack, but still very close with 44 points as we go into this round number three. Anyone can still take it.
The payload is approaching its destination.
Of course, round number three is the buy or sell round. For those of you who are new here, buy means agree, sell means disagree. And points will be awarded accordingly. So we will start with you, Volumel, here. The first buy or sell round question goes back to a point in history that will always scar me as an NYXL fan. But the Nene grab, the big Nene whiff here. Hold on, I've got the sound. So it hurts me so. But Volumel, buy or sell, the Nene grab was the right choice to make at the time.
Now, this is no shade to Blevins, because he was very hostly and divulged all bias on his opinion of this actual play. But I don't know how this is even a question. Yes, was it poor execution? 100%. But this is a buy. You have your last fight. You're fighting in one of the hardest chokes possible into an EMP, and you catch the Sombra. If you kill her, you win the game and you go on to game five and you get to, you know, try your luck there. If you don't, you've wasted grav and you lost the game for your team. Now let's go on the assumption that you just don't use grav. You let the EMP go off and you try to counter grav their grav, right? That still puts you at a pretty big disadvantage because you're EMP'd, right? It's still really rough for you to do anything. Was it a very semi-large blender? Yes. But the window that you actually have to hit that timing on is very tight. Does it look like a massive blender? Yes. Is it a blender? No. This was the right choice. This was the right plan. Execution was poor. That's all.
I hear you on that one. Thorn, buy or sell the Nene grav being the right choice?
I've got to buy. Pretty much all of the exact same points. Nene knew that the Sombra was there. The Sombra had two exits that it could come out of, that they could come out of. He chose the one that he thought was the closest to the team, which gave the Sombra the most likelihood of being able to EMP directly on top of everybody. It was the right choice. Because as Volumel said, if you do it and you hit it, that fight is won. You're going. If you miss it, you lose. If you hold your grab, you go in, you still lose because you have nothing. So it was one of those where he had a 50-50 shot. He picked the bottom 50.
I hear you there. Ham, what do you think? Buy or sell the Nene grab?
No disagreements here. Definitely buy, buy, buy. I mean, you have to shut down a Sombra. If you wait long enough, even a Ham Tornado Sombra will get EMP, and you will get at least one of your members of the team, especially against a Sombra of Michelle's quality, right? So sometimes you have that window of opportunity, right? You catch it, and you're either going to be the hero of all time, or you're going to be, you know, that scorned name that lives in infamy. Just got unlucky, drew that short straw. I mean, excellent point brought on by Thorain is like, you know, you thought you knew exactly where she was. You have a tiny, tiny window to make anything happen. Because at that point, I think there was less than 10 seconds left or something in the round, right? There is no reset. The thing with EMP is it's kind of just a pause button, right, for those fights. It doesn't take away your ultimate. It just forces you to wait for the next fights until you can use them. But there was no next fight, right? You had to make something happen now. And sometimes it is, you know, it just up in the air as to whether or not you take that risk. Didn't pay off for Nene this time around, but I think it was the right choice.
I hear you there. Bob, last words here. Buy or sell the Nene Grav?
Well, I mean, I'm going last here, but I'll just have to take it from Reaper and buy. Yeah, hey. I mean, I have to buy it. Okay, so if you watch, like, your Overwatch did a really good video where they had, like, Nene's point of view, and you go watch that, he had a chance. Like, it was the right choice. He just whiffed. I mean, that's literally what he did. He just missed it. And it happens to all of us. It just happens to pros less. And if it had happened in the middle of the game, you wouldn't even really be talking about it much, because Fran and many of the DPS Zarya wannabes have just thrown Gravs out willy-nilly all through the stage. And what everybody knows is if you catch one key player, you win the team fight. This was the last few seconds of the match. If he had gotten it, it would have been huge. But he didn't. And I think I would have made the same choice. I think most of the players in the league would have made the same choice. Taimu came out. The only thing that I don't like about the whole thing is all the pro players crapping on all the people saying it was wrong. Like, why don't you just explain it? You guys are pros. Of course, you play every day. Yeah. Like, don't make your fans feel dumb because, you know, you get to play 12 hours a day and you get to converse with all of the players in the league. So that's the only problem that I had with it. I think Nene is just chomping at the bit, waiting to prove everybody wrong. Mm-hmm. So I
agree with every point that everyone made, but what I will say is that Nene is very lucky that this happened in a essentially meaningless stage playoffs and not a real playoffs or a grand final situation, because let me tell you,
playoffs,
it was how many decades of just hate mail and death threats to Bill Buckner, the Boston Red Sox second baseman who just let the ball go through his legs and blow the game against the Mets in the like 86 World Series. Let me just tell you, they did not get over that one for multiple decades. So Nene's lucky that us elite New York fans care not of stage playoffs. but a good discussion nonetheless. Let's move on to the next buy or sell topic here. Thorne, we'll start with you. Buy or sell, the Shock are actually top tier right now.
I'm going to buy. We saw them go toe-to-toe with arguably the best team in the league, the Vancouver Titans. And as long as they're playing in the current meta, we know that they can hold their ground. DPS unlocks and, I mean, sky's the limit. They have a ton of fantastic DPS sitting on the bench just waiting to just hit the stage and show what they can do. So whether it's current meta, they stay where they're at and they're a solid 2-3 spot. Meta switches, DPS unlocks, they're 2-1. Who knows? But yeah, definitely top tier right now.
I like it. Ham, what are your thoughts? Buy or sell the Shock actually being a top-tier team right now?
Oh, yeah, definitely buy. I think they really proved any naysayers wrong with the way that they played Stage 1 Finals. They lost, of course, but they took Vancouver to the brink. That was, hands down, some of the best Goats v. Goats matchup I think we've ever really gotten to sample. And that... And they're all really young players too, right? So this just goes to show, right, it was a big brain move, San Francisco Shock kind of banking up all of these really young DPS. Now they're starting to blossom into that, you know, deadly lily of lifelessness, right? And I think there's just tons of potential. The places where Shock did struggle, you know, Sinatra yeeting Gravs into nothingness, Super going into aggressively, maybe some questionable trances from Violet, those are all very, very, you know, superficial, surface level kinds of mistakes that will be ironed out given enough time. Like, the inherent mechanical ability and the ability of this team to, you know, come together and trust each other will still be there. So I think, you know, San Francisco Shock are going to be looking very scary moving on, and they're just going to become more and more dominant as the metas change.
Mm. I like it. I like it. Bob, buying or selling San Francisco being a top tier team right now?
Even though they're starting to make me a believer, I'm going to have to go with sell. I really don't think there's too many big personalities on this team. There's too many alphas in one barrel. And I mean, if DPS comes back in, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a big fight. And people are going to be pissed. I guarantee Sleepy's still mad that he's on the bench. And they, you know, to Ham's point, they are young, and I think that's where their problem comes in. I don't see a clear leader on the team. I don't see a clear, you know, big brother type of, you know, Dak, he sucked last year, but he was definitely the big brother mm-hmm. of San Francisco Shock. And I just don't see that there. So I see them being very hit and miss. And remember, they were 4-3. You know, in stage one. I mean, they were the same record game-wise as the Dallas Fuel, and we're not calling them, you know, going to be dominant. So I just don't think that unity is actually there, and I think it's a bunch of, you know, single-minded players, although I do think they're starting to win me over, but they still have a little bit of work. Completely win me over.
Mm-hmm. I tend to agree with you there. Volmel, last words. Are Shock actually in the top tier?
This is a pretty hard buy for me. I don't see how you can take Vancouver, who are arguably one of the best teams that we've seen probably throughout the course of Overwatch, and their teamwork to the brink. And this was cut from an article that I was preparing, but you know, they were very much the Thors of the final battle in Avengers Infinity War, right? They come in and they have this heroic entrance, but they just don't go for the head, and then Vancouver world records them. That's some impressive stuff, right? Now this is a Shock that has the teamwork to go toe-to-toe with Vancouver, right? Now they're unlocked with DPS, if this is going to be the case, which I have a, you know, pretty strong inkling that it might be. And they have a foundation set by place with Brad. You know, we were all kind of questioning, hey, I don't know what's going to happen with this Super and Sinatra thing. They're not of age yet. Now we get to see them in full bloom, and they look impressive. And on the top, with the little cherry on top, you've got Krusty, who has proven time and time again he is a phenomenal coach. You know, he stood the test of time when it comes with coaching all the way back to WNV Korea, like a team that never really got to show how good they were. And you look at that roster and you're like, well, I wish I had the almanac back then because I'd be betting on these guys. I don't know how they aren't, right? It'd be a travesty if they aren't. I'd say that much. This is a buy all day. Shock are very, very good.
That was a nice little discussion. Man, I they've definitely
Them young whippersnappers, get them off my lawn.
They've definitely won me over a bit, but I think I'm leaning towards Bob on this one. I'm not fully sold yet, but I will say
Bob makes a good point. Yeah, I do think there are a lot of big personalities, but Krusty, he'll crack that whip. He's you know, we might yeet some grabs, but he's gonna crack that whip in the nay nay. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
The flame that burns oh so bright, dim it. I don't know how that goes, but something half as long, I don't know. But let's move on here. We're quickly running out of time, so we're going to move to the very last question here for round number three. That is the last buy or sell question, and that is going to be, starting with Ham here, buy or sell, ARK is going to actually make a difference for the Washington Justice.
Absolutely buy. How many times have we said, Dallas Fuel, what are they doing? They got to make a change. What change? Any change. Houston Outlaws, sticking with the same roster. Can't you just change something, anything? Right? So Washington Justice, of course, man. I don't know what was raining from above. Not a ton of justice. Certainly struggled. But now you have these three big names, right? Regardless of what you think about them, they have experience. Giannis, Otto, and Ark. Together, I think they can make something happen. Anything happen, right? Corey, he's an amazing hit scan player. I think I have asked shouted him out being a possibly, you know, one of the best hit scan players in NA. We haven't seen that come through. Next meta might be the time for him to shine. And I think, you know, again, this is a team that kind of lacks that identity, right? Who is going to be the shot caller making those decisions? Sansam, usually off, just in nowhere, no man's land, flanking, trying to 1v6 goats, right? Saving his matrix for the rest of his team, right? Somebody needs to take charge and steer this squad in any direction. Mm-hmm. Ark, right? He speaks Korean and very good English, so he can kind of bridge that gap between this, you know, the players on this mixed roster, right? And of course, we all know him from his time in NYXL, and he, you can say, oh, whatever, he was just playing Mercy, but as we've seen, you know, maybe from Boston Uprising's Kellex, Mercy is not that, you know, easy, like, bot kind of role. You can definitely play a better and worse kind of Mercy. So I think that he himself is a very mechanically skilled player, and he has a real head on his shoulders, some great game sense, and hopefully he can lend that to the Washington Justice. I definitely think this is a buy.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, with a winning pedigree from the NYXL, it certainly could make an impact. Bob, what are your thoughts here, buying or selling Ark making a difference on Washington?
Yeah, our boy Dak definitely showed everybody that Mercy could be played well and could be played bad. It's a completely different play style, and I mean, there was a lot of Mercy players in the league last year that really just had their words, but that's not the question. So Ark definitely makes a difference on Justice. I think this was probably a trade that was supposed to go through earlier, mm-hmm. and I think they kind of struggled with money from what I hear, but Ark is one of the coolest things that could happen to the Overwatch League. He is a Korean player that shows emotion. I mean, he's going to help the team for sure, but what he's going to do for a PR standpoint is going to be huge. I mean, Washington Justice is going to get interview requests now. They're going to get their name out there, and making money is part of the game, you know, so having that type of player is huge. And not to mention, he doesn't have the name Ark the Undying for no reason at all. Like, the dude is good, and the dude made Jonak look really good too. I mean, Jonak's great, but Ark helped him to that status. So
yep.
The only problem that I see that comes in is if Mercy doesn't make it to the meta in next stage. Like, I just, you know, I started this a year and a half ago, and everything I know is from that point on. And some, you know, looking at things back, but I don't know what Ark can play besides Mercy. I know that he's probably the best Mercy in the league, but I don't know what else he does. And so I think he's going to be good regardless. It's a huge upgrade, and yeah, it's going to help Washington Justice, so I will buy.
I was waiting. I was ready. My finger was on the point deductor there. You got there in the last minute.
I almost missed it.
I'm like waiting here, like smacking my lips, like, oh yeah, he's not going to say it. But he did. All right. Moving on here, Volmel, buying or selling Ark for the Washington Justice here.
I think everybody makes some compelling points. I think this will be an improvement, but this will not make a big change for the Washington Justice, so I will sell. I like the move overall, but this is not enough moves for me to, you know, bump them up and really put them forward and say, you know, Justice is, you know, a middle of the pack team. Not even a playoff caliber team, right? I'm just asking for a couple wins. Mm-hmm. Ark helps. It's a step in the right direction. I'll give you that. But they have so many other glaring problems. They don't have a strong flex support. Guido's not bad. He's not bad. He needs some work, but he's not strong, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're going into a DPS meta, historically speaking, if we look at, you know, season one, who did really well? Flex supports. So we got Neko. We've got Aim God. There's so many people out there in the world that are, they're fragging. You talk about Alarm. Compare Alarm to Guido. That's night and day. Then you look at Sansam, who struggles to stay in mech, let alone protect his team. And Jonas is a pin bot. I don't know, man. This is a rough roster. I think the DPS meta could help them. I think Arc helps them. But we're going to need more changes in this. I think we need to do some retooling before this team is bumped up into a big differential, right? I won't say big, but I'll say a little bit. So if we're being technical, I'm going to have to sell.
Yeah, I mentioned in the chat that I would trade Janice for Numlocked at this point. I would trade Janice for actual me playing the tank, because I would at least play a little bit more conservative and just let the team tell me what to do. If that doesn't display my love for Janice, I don't know what does. But Thorn, last words here for Arc, buy or sell. Impact on the Washington Justice.
Now, as a Cleveland Browns fan, a big difference is two games for me. I had a football team that went 0-16. So when you get two wins, that's a big upgrade. And that's what I'm seeing with the Washington Justice picking up Arc. I see three wins possibly. Maxing out at four if they get absolutely just in sync with each other. We got to take into consideration that Arc is now playing alongside of Janice, who he played with back on XL, under the same coach. So Wizard knows exactly what to do with both of these players. If he's able to get Arc in and get him comfortable with the rest of the team, because he's already going to have that comfortability with Janice, I think that it'll be a big help. It's not going to be groundbreaking. They're not going to make playoffs. I wouldn't even put them at middle of the pack. I'm saying like 14, 15 tops in power rankings. That's me being extremely generous, and that's with Arc performing exactly the way he needs to within the team. That's not even on the stage. That's just bringing in the new energy and saying, hey guys, we can do this. Because sometimes that's all it takes is a new voice to come in and say, we're not playing this way anymore. We're going to do better. Mm-hmm. I think he could be that voice. So I've got to buy this. It's not a hard buy. This is a very soft buy on this. Mm-hmm.
But at least you're not trying to lease things. And
no, yeah, I'm not.
Can I buy for rent?
Yeah, no, Bob, we kibosh that away.
Yeah, lease own.
Oh, man. Unless I get a snazzily dressed striker thrown in this deal, I'm not buying anything. But that is going to bring us to the end of the regular questions here, which does unfortunately mean we have to let two of our hosts go in lieu of the two finalists. And sadly, Thorn, Rain, and Ham did not quite make the cut. 64 points, though. Very respectable score. But Blaze and Bob and Volumel pulled ahead near the end here with 68 points to pop. And that does mean that they are our two finalists. And we will be going into the final question very shortly.
The payload is approaching its destination.
So this question, we're asking it straight up. You pick an answer, and then our two departed guests, Ham Tornado and Thorn, get to choose who they believe is the true winner here. And if they are not on the same page, then I get to swoop in and make the final decision here. But we did talk somewhat a little bit about this earlier, but the final question here is going to be, what non-stage one playoff team, so a team that was not in the stage one playoffs, has the best chance to win stage number two. I'm not even going to flip the coin here. I saw a look on a face. So, Bob, we're going to give you the first crack at this one.
All right. So I'm going to use the power of the Volumel pen here.
Ooh.
Shake it around while I talk.
The counterplay.
It is definitely powerful. So
getting it in his head.
I'm going to go with the Dallas Fuel.
And the standing desk. My boys in blue,
the Dallas Fuel. Dallas Fuel, if we go into a DPS meta, they have Effect! And they have Taibu. If Taibu's on fire this stage, dude can't miss a shot. So I think the Dallas Fuel have a really good chance. AKM has really improved from last year. He's become a team leader. I know the guy personally. I love him. Like, I'm voting for him. And if, you know, Batiste comes in the meta, then we've got Harry Hook, who was a awesome soldier and could really translate that type of play to Batiste. So I think Dallas Fuel make the playoffs. Also, they were one win away from being like fourth in the standings. So,
man, I've never seen a pen overact before, but it just did. We witnessed it. But besides that, I think a lot of good points were made there. Valmel, your pick here.
A good friend of mine said to never count out the London Spitfire. They are your reigning season one champions. They're coming into stage two with a historic power pick for their main tank. If you go back to the playoffs, how successful they were with using halts was the edge over Philadelphia. Philadelphia, they were a little bit scrimmy for sure, but the Orisa play was important, right? Now, if we look at their schedule, week one, they play Florida. I don't think I need to say more than that. They also play Atlanta. A little bit difficult, right? That's a little bit harder. I think that's a step up, right? Week two, they play Philadelphia. Should be a decent match. You know, definitely a, you know, kind of a, the El Clasico almost for the Overwatch League. Week three, they play Boston. Week four, they play Paris and Chengdu. And week five, they play Houston. So not a terribly too hard schedule. Profit can play. We've seen him pull out DPS picks when he needs to back in Apex Season 4. You know, he did not play Genji, I can't stress this enough, and made a statement against Haxal, who is a legendary Genji. This team has the power play. They have these heavy hitters, absolute heavyweights that will bash you over the head if you give them the chance. We're going to a DPS meta. If we see bunker comp, it plays into the tank's wheelhouse. I think London have a good shot if we're looking outside of playoffs. Outside of playoffs, I think London has probably one of the best shots. So that's what I'm going to say.
Two strong answers here. We have Bob with, of course, pulling out his homer card. He saved it the whole show, going with the Dallas Fuel. Valmel.
Now, what was the veto pick? What was like the insta win?
Oh man, I didn't. You know, I don't think I had one here. I usually do.
Yeah, that's why I was like, all right. So where was it?
I don't think I had one here, but it certainly wasn't going to be the Dallas. Huh? Toronto. Valmel knows. Sometimes you can just cheat and find the right answer, but it's risky because you could also get DQ'd there. Sometimes it's like the Panda Bear.
True.
Sometimes I don't. No, I didn't have one. It wasn't Toronto. Although if you would have went with Toronto, I still probably would have done it. But no, did not get it there. But that does. We do move to Thorn, Rain, and Ham. Thorn, we'll start with you. Who are you picking here? Bob with the Dallas Fuel or Valmel with the London Spitfire?
Oh, man. Bob made some good points.
Mm-hmm.
Valmel made some good points.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he does.
This is actually a little more difficult than I was expecting it to be.
And let me add a little bit more pressure here, because regardless of who you pick, history will be made. We will either see Blaze and Bob hashtag forever fourth place with his first crown, or we will see the person who has been on more shows of Around the Payload than anyone except for literally just me get the first second crown.
Okay,
so just putting it out there. The most.
Just gave me my pick. I want to thank you, Blevins, for picking my choice. Because as I said earlier,
these damn swing voters.
I always go for the underdog. So I got to give it to my boy Bob.
Cleveland, baby.
He's Owen. He's just living in the bottom, you know, Mr. Four. So I got to give him at least a shot to come out of the bottom.
All right, fair enough. The hosts have no obligation to pick for any particular reason. They can choose whatever reason they want. Ham, you're given that same liberty here. Who are you picking?
Oh, man. I mean, my hand was already this close to the Bob buzzer, and then you just smashed it down with that. Yeah, we got to give Bob that crown, man. Colorado strong. Burn blue, baby. And here, like, here's the thing, right? Again, both great points. And I think, honestly, either one, you know, could be that pick. But, Bob, you just spoke to my heart. Today, we're not thinking with the head, right? It's all about that pipe dream of Dallas Fuel making it. So I got to give it to Bob. That's my vote.
I realize the correct auto win answer was NYXL, but only if they play Pine. So that would have been the auto win answer, because but regardless, technicalities or not, Bob, you finally did something. You are the victor here.
Woo!
You have finally made it. I think you were on episode number one of Around the Payload, and now
both seasons.
You were there from the very beginning. You finally got that illustrious crown. The floor is yours. Sell out, shout out, do what you will.
Oh, man, I've learned a lot, you know, since that first episode of AATP. And, I mean, I just keep trying to get better and better and trying to learn from fabulous minds like Ham, Thorn, and, like, I can't even believe, like, I know, you know, yeah, I know it's not a huge win, but it feels good to win against someone I respect so much Volumel. Volumel is, I mean, I love everything he does. So it's been awesome. I guess, like, I want to thank my father. I want to thank my mother. I want to thank my brother for all the gods.
Play the music.
The one thing I would want to pump is my Al Recap YouTube. We've been very successful in the audio space with Al Recap, and we're really trying to move into the YouTube space this season. We've been doing player interviews. We have Brick McVictory on site. He does, you know, 2 to 4 interviews per normal week. Like, the playoff weeks aren't really – they're more like press conferences, and everybody puts those out, so I'm not going to put those out. But – we've been doing those, and I've been trying to learn video editing. I've been trying, you know, today I made my first YouTube thumbnail. Like, I just really would love some support over there, guys. So if you could just follow us at youtube.com/AlRecap, I would appreciate it so much. And also a shout out to Push the Point, a new podcast started by La Bosco and Ramses. I think it's going to be good. I listened to episode 0 today. It's going to follow player storylines more than doing doing team and game analysis. So you guys should definitely check that out. It's run by Mash Those Buttons, the site that gave me the first chance to podcast on Watchpoint Radio. So that's my shout outs. Thank you guys so much.
And thank you, Bob. You won today. You also won the longest shout out speech ever. But you know what? I put no time limit on it. Take as much as you need. And we can now, Bob, we can finally say that there is now officially Golden Drock has seen it. There's nothing he has. There's nothing he has not seen.
Golden Drag,
even
crown.
A Bob, Blazing Bob, Around the Payload victory. But guys, that is going to be it. Thank you so much for everyone who tuned in live at twitch.tv/highnoonpodcast. Shout outs to Volumel, Blazing Bob, Ham Tornado, and Thorn Rain for being my wonderful guests. But that is going to be it for all of the wonderful guests. I am the Blevins, and we will catch you guys next time around the payload. Bye-bye.
Bye.